Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Yes, another edition of Hockey Central at noon coming your way. An hour of hockey talk getting you set for Pinder and Steinberg, the Kirsch and Gordon edition to start. Rob Kerr back on your airwaves at 2 o'clock again today, leading up to the drive home at 4 o'clock when Peter Lovardius and Rob Kerr will take you the way home for today. I'm Logan Gordon along with you. Riley Pollock working the board at Sportsnet World Control in downtown Calgary. And we start off Hockey Central the best way and the only way that we know how by talking to our Flames insider, Peter Lovardius.
Flames insider Peter Lovardius, brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Peter, my friend, how are we today?
I am excellent, Logan. I am excellent.
I'm glad to hear it, pal. Day three of Flames camp, the first group finishing up this morning. Any news and notes to take from day three of the return to play camp for Calgary?
Well, absolutely, and it's hard not to start in one place, and that's what you just heard from Riley on the update, Logan, and that's that Michael Backlund started today and left, I'd say, about 25 minutes in to the morning session that wrapped up at just shortly after 11:25. And with Derek Ryan missing in action again after he gave it a try on Monday and left even earlier in that session, Logan, I would put it this way. This is no time to panic. This is no time as well to take any chance on anyone's health. And I mean this more in an injury standpoint. I don't have to further get into COVID or anything related there, but you know, being healthy and ready to go come August 1st is massively important. And now you're looking at, you know, two of your top three center icemen who have potentially had, hopefully in the Flames case, a little tweak or a little boo-boo. But if for some reason that starts to become a concern, that would turn into a massive story. But it's not a massive story to me in any way, shape, or form as of yet. It's not something that sits entirely well with you when you have two very, very key people down the middle who have already left and, in Derek's case, have not returned. But that's certainly the news of the day. And an interesting morning session because for the first time in the 3 days, at the end of it, a couple of things occurred. They scrimmaged the best they could with the people that they had, 5-on-5 for approximately 20 minutes. So, you know, they're ramping up each and every day and added that element. That's an element we have not seen in the first 2 days. And then they had a little, what they call in hockey, a bit of a bag skate to just test the conditioning at the end, which is like tweeted out, made me tired just watching. So conditioning, getting people ready for August the 1st is first and foremost. And as you've heard in the afternoon, and Robbie talked about it, and I've talked about it as well, you know, week number one of the first few days, I've kind of labeled in a manner of refresher and getting everything up to speed. Then I think it gets more to the competition phase, and then the final week, especially when they get to the hub city, becomes more of a tune-up situation.
Just before we move on to other topics here, any worry about having, I know it's very early on, but any worry about having three regulars not practicing consistently right now with Backlund, Derek Ryan, and Dylan Dubé not in on camp early? Any worry about having a couple regulars out early on?
Well, as I just addressed, if indeed the center ice position becomes a huge issue, and I don't see it that way until I get a better feel and until people are gone for a lot longer, it's a concern, Logan. It's potentially a big concern. You know, I don't think, to be frank, anything has been ideal for the hockey team in terms of how they've had to go about their business. I've talked this week about, you know, just how the camp has gone and the split of the players. If you take a look at the rest of the league, you know, outside of situations, i.e. Pittsburgh, who, you know, day one, they put nine guys in a position where they could not participate. Most camps, Logan, are very split in terms of, you know, kind of 17 and 17. And I truly believe that was the Flames' intention too. But health and injuries are a massive, massive part of day-to-day business right now. And, you know, you owe it to everybody to follow all the protocols and keep people as healthy and injuries kept to a bare minimum as you possibly can. So, yeah, there's always going – I look at it this way, and I have my whole entire career. When people are not showing up in places and patterns that are normal, yes. Is there reason for concern? Absolutely. What you have to be careful of, Logan, in the speculation game is how far you're willing to take it. Would I say that if I had to assess that, you know, Buddy Robinson and Dylan Dubé are different to me than Derek Ryan and Michael Backlund? Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But even at that, we don't know. We don't know. Yeah. And we don't know each and every day until we come to the rink and see who comes out and who doesn't. That's the approach. That's what's so important about just covering everything is don't get too far ahead of the game in terms of speculation and where you're going to take things. Like, that's really important. Our world's not always very good at doing that. You know, we want to jump to the big places and the bigger stories and, oh my goodness, you know, panic can set in pretty easy in our world. Especially, I think, in some ways, the social media world we've lived in the last 10 years. But I'm not going to perpetrate that. I'm just going to really, truly take it day by day and take my cues that way.
Interesting yesterday, and it caught the attention of Rob and myself, and I know it caught the attention of you as well. Some very strong messaging coming from Coach Jeff Ward and even Sean Monahan about last year's playoff series and sort of what they're bringing with them into this camp and going forward. I thought it was interesting that, you know, early on in camp, the team was quick to remind themselves of how disappointing last year was and that they're still working towards, you know, rectifying that, if you will. What did you make of those comments yesterday, Peter?
Well, let's hear first from Jeff Ward, and then I will follow with my thoughts, starting with the head coach.
No, I think for us, probably the easiest way to put it was it wasn't a matter of skill last year. It was a matter of will. And I think for them, they were just, you know, they had more will. And you saw it in the game that they put on the ice compared to the game that we put on the ice. So, you know, we all have to be aware of that. At this time of year, I mean, the one thing is if every guy in your room is not prepared to step outside their comfort zone, then your chances of being the team that hoists the Stanley Cup at the end of the day are greatly reduced. So, you know, that's something that we've talked about from day one here, is that, you know, it's important that we become a battle-tested team. And it's important that, you know, we get comfortable being uncomfortable. We have to learn how to play outside our comfort zone. And if we can do that, then we give ourselves a real good opportunity at this time of year.
And Logan,
interim or not, the coach isn't mincing any words.
No, he's not mincing any words. And to be honest, he never has minced any words. If you go back to last season when things, you know, were not going very well prior to him becoming the head coach of the hockey team, Jeff has not minced words. And, you know, Jeff has the luxury that not very many people do. Jeff truly has been around a situation to know what it takes to win. Big part of the Boston staff that won the Stanley Cup in 2011 and has been around lots of successful situations. So he knows. And frankly, I'm a big believer in that. Until you've done it and been through it, you don't know. So the overriding story is, Logan, like everything else, you can't go and get last spring back. this playoff is going to be very different for all kinds of different reasons. But in assessing this hockey team, what did you learn from what happened? What kind of impact did it have on you? And as a group, what are you prepared to do differently based on the experience and, frankly, the lesson in some ways that you were taught by the Colorado Avalanche? And as much as we were quick to point last spring about Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen and their elite level people, and that was a huge difference, make no mistake. But if you really break those games down and analyze it, so much was about Colorado's attention to detail, how they tracked the puck, how they got the puck back. They virtually, as you know, Logan, gave the Flames next to nothing. And what doesn't get talked about enough, I don't think, is we always focus, and I understand why, on who's scoring and who's delivering, because scoring wins games. So I'm not trying to downplay it. But, Logan, the process matters a lot. And the more you are able to take the puck away from your opponent, what does that mean? You have it more. And the more you have it, the more you can get done with it. And Colorado's ability to get it back and give up so little defensively was the reason they were so dominant, not taking anything away from their star power, which I've never seen Nathan MacKinnon play better hockey than he did in that five-game series. So with all that, staying on the same storyline, how are you going to respond? Well, the next part of this equation is, here's what I love about Sean Monahan. Now, did Sean put up the type of numbers this past season before the break that he had in the past? No, he didn't. But for the majority of the season, did I see a different player? Yes. Did I see someone who was more committed to the 200-foot game? Yes. Did I see a center iceman that was more defensively responsible and harder to deal with in his own zone? Absolutely. You know what that is, Logan? That's growth. That's growth. And what really struck me, and you're going to hear from him in a second, is as we all learn in our worlds and in our lives, that it is one thing to first understand why things didn't work out. Then the next step for me, I believe, is you have to own your part in why it didn't go well. And to Sean's credit, Sean has never ducked away from owning his part, looking to take responsibility, getting out in front of the media and talking about he needs to be better for this team to get where it wants to go. I always love to hear that because I think that is the first step. The next step is, what are you going to do? And what are you going to do different to help your team get to a better place? Well, the other part is, and you're about to hear from him, I've heard him say those words over the last couple of years, but it didn't resonate with me the same way what he said yesterday and how he said it. Here's what he had to say about looking back to last spring and the motivation that it has brought forward for him.
We got embarrassed last year in the postseason. And I mean, as a player and obviously you're representing an organization, that sticks with you. I mean, I don't like looking back on the regular season usually if you're in a playoff picture. I mean, that's what you're thinking about throughout the summer. So, I mean, right now, our goal right now is obviously to be ready for this postseason. And that's what we were gearing up for all season. So, I mean, we got a lot to prove here. And I mean, a lot of things motivating us.
So that, Logan, did not sit well. It has not sat well. This core group to me, and Sean is truly one of the leaders of the core group, this is a big time. This is a big time. They've been through enough playoffs. Sean and Johnny, you know, they've been through three playoffs now. And some have gone better than others. But it's time. It's time. And again, is it about perfection? No. They're going to go up against some incredibly elite people on the Winnipeg Jets. What you need to see, I believe, is another step. There cannot be more regression in your ability to do well in the hardest situations. There was some regression, I felt, last year. Now, again, that wasn't all on those guys, but that's why you are those guys. And your ability to participate and perform in the most difficult of circumstances, to me, is the end game in terms of who gets it done and who isn't. But I thought a lot of what Sean said yesterday, and I heard a different tone. I heard somebody, sometimes you can hear it for all of us, and then we can say it. Mm-hmm. I heard a little more out of him that made it sound like he knows it, but now maybe more prepared than ever to do something about it. And I think that's really important.
Well, and it's a big test, even relating back to, you know, having to go up against Nathan MacKinnon last playoffs. And for me, the test doesn't get much easier against Winnipeg, because 55 on Winnipeg, Mark Scheifele presents his own set of challenges and is an elite level center again, in my mind. And if that's the matchup that Calgary and Sean Monahan has, then Sean has every opportunity to prove it against another elite forward in Scheifele.
Well, again, and we'll get to the matchups more next week, because, you mm-hmm. know, depending on who has last change, there's lots of different ways to go about your business. And frankly, Logan, you know, until the whole Flames situation plays itself out, you know, we don't even have groups that are all together. So,
yeah.
You know, but your point is a good one. And that's what it is in the playoffs, is that, you know, night after night, you're going up against other people's top people. Now, do I think that Jeff Ward, with last change, will necessarily want to go head-to-head? Monahan, if indeed that's, you know, we expect him probably, I think, with Gaudreau and Lindholm when it starts, maybe, maybe not. There's other options. But, you know, could I definitely see Michael Backlund and his line being used against Scheifele? Yeah, I could. I could, because you're trying to free your people up, Logan, to be in the best positions that they can be to be at their best and deliver what you want. So, you know, especially in the tune-up week, then I am more than ready to dig into all that stuff, because I think it's important. I think it's fascinating. I've obviously thought a lot about it. But, yeah, I mean, if you want to be a premier guy and win a Stanley Cup and have playoff success, it's the oldest cliche in the book. Your most productive people have to be productive.
Sort of looking forward to getting into those matchups as we get closer to play in action. It's Hockey Central at noon. Logan Gordon along with you. Our Flames insider, Peter Labardius, joining us as he always does to kick off the 12 o'clock hour. We mentioned some guys. We mentioned Sean Monahan and his growth, and you know, expecting big things from himself coming into this postseason here, Lou. But you have your eyes focused on another Flames forward that is going to be very important for this team, not only in this play-in series against Winnipeg, but moving forward for the organization, and that's Elias Lindholm.
Well, I'm a massive fan, and I wouldn't say he's their best forward. I wouldn't say he's their most dynamic forward, but I would say he's their most important forward. He played over a minute more than any other forward on the team when play halted in early March. He plays in every situation. He's a top power play player. He's a top penalty killer. He takes strong side face-offs and does an excellent job. He scored 29 goals before the stoppage. I like to refer to him a little bit as Patrice Bergeron light. And I think at some point, I will not be surprised if this 26-year-old doesn't find himself, you know, in the middle more often than not, playing at center. This guy does it all. And when coaches review tapes, even day one, in an early drill, Jeff Ward took one guy aside in terms of a tracking drill and who did it the best. Guess who he grabbed? Elias Lindholm. He makes very few mistakes. This is going to be his second playoff. Last year, like his line mates, didn't go anywhere near as well as he wanted. And guess what? Just like Sean Monahan, he hasn't missed that part of the equation either.
I think, you know, keep building off end of the season and you know, come in with a good mindset. And for now, you're kind of running out of opportunities. This is only my second time, and I'm turning 26 soon. So you know how tough it is to get in. So just do whatever it takes to you know, help the team win.
And Logan, in many ways, his years in Carolina showed him just what he delivered on our airwaves. He doesn't take for granted being in this situation. He knows that he spent, you know, the first number of years of his career, he didn't have an opportunity to do that. But Elias Lindholm is an incredibly important player to this mix. He plays more than everybody. He does it so well in every single area. And, you know, this is another quality opportunity for this Swedish forward. And again, there's going to be lots of eyes on lots of different people. And let's go back to a couple of years ago when, you know, Gaudreau, Monahan, and Lindholm were as good as any line in the league. Logan, you don't think that guy doesn't do a lot of the heavy lifting for that group?
No, absolutely he does.
He does a ton of heavy lifting, a ton of it, to the point where, you know, I think that sometimes will weigh him down in terms of his ability to produce at the other end. You know, getting back to what we talked about earlier, you know, as much as it's about what you have to do with it, it's what you have to do in this game when you don't. And Elias Lindholm, I can't say enough good things, and I'm excited about watching the whole group. I just think this is a really important time for the group. But Elias Lindholm, I think if the Calgary Flames have some success in these playoffs, he'll have his hands and legs and chin pads all over it.
Last one for you here, Peter. And I know you and Rob were able to talk about it a bit yesterday, but just a bit of a refresher for everybody here and just getting your thoughts on a Flames-Oilers exhibition game before we head into August 1st, before we even get to Winnipeg. We get to see another edition of the Battle of Alberta. Just some thoughts on this. Do you think it'll get to the level it was last year based on their playing rounds afterwards? Because lots on the line for these two teams after they play each other on July 28th.
Well, I'm not sure we're going to get into, you know, the circus aspect of it. I'm not sure it's going to quite go to that level because, frankly, I'm not sure the two teams can afford it to mm-hmm. get to certain levels. But I do think, as our good friend also pointed out, Mr. Kerr, yesterday, as we talked that one out, I love the competition aspect of it. I love the fact that you only have one game to really ramp up your intensity. I can't think in some ways of a better group to do it against. It won't be difficult to be motivated, but trust me, on both sides of that equation, intelligence needs to override emotion. It really does. You save all of that stuff a little bit more for what's going to happen Saturday, August the 1st. But I don't know if I've ever been more excited about a triple header of exhibition games than Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Montreal, and Toronto. And I think the best of the bunch has an opportunity to be Calgary and Edmonton.
Peter, as always, we appreciate the time. I love having these conversations with you, and I hope we get to do more of them in the future as we get closer here. Great stuff with you and Rob in the afternoons. It's been really great to hear you guys, and looking forward to hearing you guys later on this afternoon as well.
Well, thanks, Logan. And as a veteran broadcaster, I love the fact that I hear a lot of progression for you, and that's what it's all about. So thanks, and have a great rest of the afternoon.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style, your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
There you go, Peter Loubardias, the color voice of the Calgary Flames here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Looking forward to getting him back on the airwaves with Derek Wills as we get closer and closer to some Flames action. We'll, of course, carry that Flames and Oilers exhibition game from Edmonton when it is ready to be played. It'll be July 28th, an 8:30 broadcast. We'll get our Flames pregame going, get Pat back in the chair, and get everybody back ready for some Flames hockey. We'll rejoin Peter later on this afternoon when he and Rob Kerr take over from the 4 to 6 hour for your drive home. Last day for Rob on these airwaves, but been some good stuff with him. We'll get more into it this afternoon. But coming up next on Hockey Central, we'll hear from a former NHLer about a number of factors heading into this restart, including some of the matchups he's looking forward to seeing, and some of the matchups that he's not as intrigued in seeing. Colby Armstrong, Sportsnet insider, joining the program next. We'll hear from him here in Hockey Central at noon.
Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hockey Central at noon, continuing on a Wednesday. It's Logan Gordon along with you. Riley Pollock, our producer from the downtown studios, the Sportsnet World Control. We're going to continue the hockey talk this hour with a former NHLer and Sportsnet analyst, Colby Armstrong, the former Penguin, Thrasher, Leaf, and Montreal Canadien, joined our friends in Vancouver on Sportsnet 650, giving a little bit of a preview of what he expects to see in some of the series, including some of his former teams. The Penguins and the Montreal Canadiens in their best of five. Colby played for both organizations there. He knows a little bit about the pressure of playing in Toronto as well, so he dives into that. And just hoping everything works out until they get to the bubble, as Colby's still worrying. And it's a worrying time for teams. I can understand why he shares that sentiment. But he joined Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, talking a little bit about all of that and more. Here's Colby Armstrong.
We're seeing the news this morning. Just generally, Colby, how is the situation in Pittsburgh? We hear a lot about New York, Washington, LA, but how are things in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, we've been pretty good here. We've been, I guess, early on, like, pretty proactive and shutting everything down, as, you know, most places obviously did. But, you know, here in our county, Allegheny County in Pennsylvania, was really decent. That's why I thought maybe Pittsburgh would be a good place. You know, we have a good hospital, for the hub, as we now know, in Edmonton and Toronto got them, but just the hub would have been good. Cool here. I think just, we have a good medical, you know, UPMC hospital, and just the practice facilities that they've done here in Pittsburgh and the main rink, and just a little, not very big population really, to be honest as well. I think we've got a little bit more spikes as of late, in certain areas, but, nothing crazy like some of those other cities that we're seeing here, you know, across the border.
Colby Armstrong joining us. You know, Pittsburgh is home for you. Obviously still tight with several of those Pittsburgh Penguins. They kind of surprised everyone on their first day with nine guys, you know, all the precautions that are going out, and it's the unfit to play, which is in the media, we have to get used to. Like it or don't like it, Colby, for not knowing, and unfortunately the speculation that comes with it when we hear that term.
Yeah, absolutely. And do we know any, like, what's going on with you know, Ferland or some of these other guys unfit to play? Because, yeah, it does leave speculation, right, for the fans, or for people to, you know, I guess kind of go down their own imagination path with what's going on, especially with guys with previous injuries. So, yeah, here in Pittsburgh with the nine guys that were held out the other day for practice, and it was kind of a you know, out of an abundance of caution of somebody that was around somebody that got tested for COVID. It was kind of like, you know, just overly cautious, I think, of putting people possibly, you know, in a situation where it could, you know, destroy their training camp right now. So just trying to make the right moves. And I, you know, from everything I understand, not only Pittsburgh with, you know, just being super cautious, but a lot of, I think, sleepless nights for coaches and GMs and just trying to, you know, hope everything runs smoothly until some of these teams can get to their bubbles, get to the bubble cities.
And as the Penguins going to their Toronto bubble and their opposition in the first round will be the Montreal Canadiens, your thoughts on that particular series, Colby, given the fact that you do cover the Penguins, obviously, and you spent a lot of time in Toronto as well. So just some thoughts on how that matchup will go.
Yeah, I think it should be interesting. I mean, I think, you know, most people have, you know, Pittsburgh winning this series, and I think most people have Pittsburgh winning it, you know, in this 5-game series and, you know, sweep of the games. I would think that everything that I've heard or seen, and I would think, you know, you look at Pittsburgh's, you know, lineup now that they're healthy, they had a tough year this year due to injuries throughout their team with, you know, several guys at a time and missing massive chunks of season at a time. So, you know, they're healthy. They got Jake Guentzel, a guy who had shoulder surgery and was deemed to miss, you know, the entire season last year, including the playoffs with when he went down, is now back in all reports, playing on line with Sidney Crosby and Connor Sherry and looking really healthy. So, you know, you look at paper and you go, okay, yeah, this Penguins team looks deep and skilled and, you know, they should handle Montreal fairly easily. But at the same time, like, I find myself, I don't know about you guys, but I find myself at times just like kind of thinking, talking myself into, you know, every little scenario that, you know, this is a fresh start. Who knows what's going to happen? How do they look? We don't know how they look. How are they going to match up? Who's going to find their groove fastest in the playoff? Like, there's so many things and things that I kind of talk myself into where it's going to be, where it's going to go. But, you know, as far as a speed, I think a speed series, looking at the way both these team plays, Montreal fairly structured with the Julian system and Carey Price and net. But I think this is going to be fast games between both the, you know, with both these teams, the way they play, the structure and the speed at which they play with. So I think Pittsburgh's got obviously the most talent, probably the edge in most people's books and mine as well to, you know, to handle Montreal in the series.
Shea Weber was trending yesterday because he wasn't on the ice with the Canadiens, unfit to play, and you think probably a maintenance day for a big guy like that. He's on the ice right now with the Canadiens, so that we know was probably just a little bit of a maintenance day. Colby, you said, here's the thing we don't know, but you were that guy. You had a long NHL career. Do you think it's easy for a veteran player to crank it up as quick when they've never had to? I mean, after 3 months off, there was, trust me, I don't think, and I'm not going to speak for you, you were there, I don't think guys have it at 100% on the first game of an NHL season when they're veterans and know how long the grind is. Will it be easier, cranky old bodies to get going, or you like the 22, 23 enthusiastic kids to get ready to go and fly out of the game?
Yeah, I like the young legs. It's funny you mentioned that, you know, that young enthusiasm and, you know, coming into camp, it's funny. I see, like, you know, the Leafs are handing out a trophy or something for, like, whoever has the best training camp scrimmages that they're doing right now. I was like, oh, my God, if you could have named most of the guys that won that award at camp and then were nowhere to be seen during the season, it'd be most of the guys that had won it. So, yeah, it's funny how, those, you know, the younger legs, I think, can kind of get in the groove a little bit faster, whereas, you know, a guy with some injury history, Shea Weber, and taking care of his body and managing it, and other guys throughout this process probably managing their bodies and, you know, the timing that it takes to lead up to get to that level, especially game speed and game intensity, and what it takes for a little bit of an aging player is a lot more. So, yeah, I would say, you know, I'd say that the players that are probably play the most simple style of hockey, and those young legs that can probably adapt, and you'll see them, I think, find a little bit more success here early until, you know, guys can find that rhythm and timing a little bit. Look, I heard Chris Letang talking about their power play yesterday and if they've worked on it at all yet, which I think is a big factor for the Penguins and probably most teams, but especially the Penguins with the talent they have for their power play to be successful can really probably win them a lot of games. And they haven't even worked on it yet. They're just working on getting the timing of everything else down before they can even get to, you know, that timing and execution of what a power play is going to be, which will come, I think, later in their process right now. So, yeah, we're only third day, but I would think that they'd be in, you know, this is something that we can, you know, really hone in, and they're not even there yet. So interesting to see, but I definitely think those young legs will have an advantage, especially early on. Like, there's so much at stake right from puck drop, right? And, you know, we'll see it get ramped up pretty quick you know, right from the first puck drop, August 1st.
Hey, by the way, Shea Weber back on the ice this morning with the Montreal Canadiens. Good news for him. Not necessarily good news for your Penguins, Colby. Now, by the way, I don't know if you heard or not, Jack Rathbone, young defenseman, signed with the Vancouver Canucks yesterday coming out of Harvard. You have a guy in Pittsburgh who came out of Harvard last year, John Marino. You saw him a lot. You surprised at how good he was over the course of the season?
Yeah, you know what? I truly was surprised. And for a young kid to come out of college hockey, and he was skinny. He's skinny, too. Like, he's not, like, filled out as, you know, like a man yet. Or, you know, he's got that really skinny frame, lanky defenseman. But his skating, I think the one thing I was most impressed by is his poise on the puck, whether it's in a close situation, down in the corners, along the boards in battles. When he gets it on his sticks, he just doesn't, you know, throw it away. And this takes, you know, this usually takes time to learn and become comfortable. And, you know, for his poise and the way ability for him to skate and move the puck. And then I talked about how skinny he looks, but I'm telling you, when he gets guys in battles along the boards too, like, he's like glue. He's really sticky. Like, he'll finish guys and he holds them right there. Like, they are done, no matter how big or strong they are. So yeah, he was really surprising to me at, you know, not only how good he was right out of the gates, but how much progress and, you know, how confident he became at doing. We saw him, you know, in certain situations, the Penguins had some injuries, but, you know, his ability through those injuries to see a lot more playing time, to see a lot more situations, to see a lot more, you know, higher skilled lines and, you know, even quarterback the power play at times here and there. So we got to see a lot of different things from young John Marino here. And I don't know what they've got going at that program where these guys came from, but likely, you know, two good players. I think we'll hear lots more about some of these younger guys and how much of an impact they're going to make here, also moving into these playoffs for some of these teams.
Well, Rathbone signing yesterday with the Canucks, so they're excited about what he may bring to them next year. You did a lot of Vancouver Canucks games from a distance at the desk with Carolyn Cameron, and I think, you know, you always were enthusiastic and kind of enjoyed what was going on here in the West Coast. Do they not sit up as a team, Colby, where you go, man, okay, they're healthy, their goalie's good, they got guys who can light it up as, not that, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen, but if you're sitting there going, I wonder if there's a sleeper who could play a lot longer in this little playoff series than many, that the Canucks might fit that mold?
Yeah, you know what? I find myself just in random conversation, either with friends, hockey's starting up, my friends from Saskatoon will call, and we'll get talking. And I don't know why, like, something just leads me back. And it's funny you mentioned my enthusiasm for the Canucks, because I find myself bringing them up a lot about a team. Like, they were just really fun to watch last year for me. The players were really fun to talk about, whether it was good or bad, because we saw a little bit of both, and we could see, you know, a lot of that even in one game, which was always made it really exciting from the Canucks, right? Like, they're up 5-1, but she ain't over yet, because the other team could score four. We could go to overtime. So it was a product, I think, that was fun to watch, for one, just as a hockey fan. And then I think also, just, you know, as a hockey fan as well, just, you know, some of the great young talent that we're able to watch, and we're able to watch kind of them kind of mold and shape and find their spots together through a lineup, and who's playing with who and who fits with who, and, you know, some emergences from some other players that, you know, Bertanen and some of these other guys that were kind of, you know, step up every once in a while. We'd be like, whoa, here we go. Okay. So, you know what? I'm excited about the prospects of what a healthy Canucks team can do, and a Markstrom in the net. And we all know what happened at the end of before the pause and the injury. And, you know, I had him as like an MVP in the league. Like, I was like, this guy is unbelievable. So, you know, you've got that confidence in net going ahead, but, you know, they're a team that can, I think, you know, we talk about youth, we talk about skill, we talk about this format and what it's going to take, a team that could, you know, I think surprise a lot of people, you know, going through this, and a team that has an opportunity to kind of get some momentum behind them with the way it's set up right now. So, And regardless, right, guys, they're gonna give you an exciting game. Like, it's gonna be one way or the other, or it's never over till it's over type of Vancouver Canucks hockey, and I think it's gonna be thrilling playoffs for them and some great experience for them, right? And you know, got a lot of young guys that, you know, are gonna get that taste. Obviously no fans in the stands, which is something that would be nice for everybody, but a taste for some of these young guys, to play big stake hockey.
Well, Colby, agree or disagree, but I made the point with Mike earlier on this show. I actually would say the Vancouver Canucks, we're dreaming pie in the sky, right? But I would say the Vancouver Canucks have a better chance of making it to a Stanley Cup final this year than they likely will next year because they are so young. And next year, if you play 82 condensed and then you get into the best of sevens, you know, that's a different race to run. But the fact that they go, hey, boys, you want to sprint and see what you can do and they can get on a roll, they probably have a better chance this year than they will next.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I think the grind of a season on any team can be tough. But, for all the things that we mentioned and what you're saying, kind of just drop the puck and see what happens. You put a youthful, skilled team like the Canucks that have that excitement behind them, I think, and the excitement, to prove something right now. I think that can be, a deadly situation for a group of guys, thrust into this right now. So if I'm a Canucks fan, I was excited about this season. And if I'm a Canucks fan, I kind of have my fingers crossed behind my back and kind of looking out the side of my eye at other fans going, yeah, wait and see, buddy, wait and see.
You know, you alluded to it earlier that these guys will be playing in empty buildings. Are we putting too much stock into the fact that these buildings will be empty? Will it have much effect on the play on the ice, Colby?
Yeah, I think it will. Like, I just remember that feeling, and it's the one thing that I remember the most are those goosebumps moments, like where you get like your hair stands up on the back of your neck, and because the crowd is just so energetic, or coming onto the ice to start a game and a certain feeling that it just ramps up the emotion, ramps up the adrenaline so much when it's like that with the fans and in the stands. So unfortunately we're going to have to see some teams kind of manufacture that. That's I don't think you ever can get to that point, but gonna have to manufacture a way to when you're playing high stake hockey right away, right out of the gates, with in a situation or a place where they're only used to playing, 3-on-3 beer league hockey in the summers leading up to camp, it'll have maybe that feeling. So it's going to be something totally different. I think it will be, tougher at times, for the players, because you kind of rely on the emotion of the game, the ups and the downs and everything that kind of goes with it. And the refs being affected by it as well. There's always this up and down. And we think about the whole kind of pace of the game and the emotion of the game. And that's the way it is. And the fans are a big, big, big part of that. So I don't think it's being, left off the table with how big it is. I think a lot of people are paying attention. We are talking about it quite a bit, how different it'll be. And I think, we'll see, the players probably talk about and mention that feeling of missing that adrenaline and that different kind of push that the crowd can give, players or teams through certain parts of the game.
Colby, through social media, just 2 minutes ago, it was pointed out that the Penguins are finally working on their power play. So you're getting that wish.
Oh, there they go.
Thanks for your honesty. The most telling comment, a data 4 with kids in school, it's been brutal. But you know what? at least everyone's been healthy, and things may be getting a little bit more normal for what we get to talk about. Thanks for it, Colby. Stay safe.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Great talking to you. Appreciate it.
There you go. Former NHLer and Sportsnet analyst Colby Armstrong joining the starting lineup in Vancouver on our sister station, Sportsnet 650. Lots to get into there with Colby. A couple of his former teams playing each other, the Penguins and the Montreal Canadiens, in that qualifying round. He's also a former Leaf and a former Thrasher. Riley, you're a Habs guy. I don't remember Colby being with the Habs for too long. Just a couple of seasons with Montreal, right?
Yeah, I actually don't remember him really being there at all, so that shows how long he probably played there. Not too many fond memories of him as a Hab, to be honest with you.
Yeah, definitely his prime time coming as a member of the Penguins.
It doesn't... Oh, he played 37 games with them in 12-13. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, 5 points.
Yeah, that's... Oh, okay, well, didn't exactly go well for Colby. No. But we appreciate him on the Sportsnet broadcast, a guy who's played plenty of NHL games, just not with Montreal. He is a former Hab, just not for very long. So lots of good stuff there from Colby. He's actually a busy guy today. He'll be joining Writer's Block in Toronto as well on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Giving some more insights, probably some more Toronto-based stuff there if you want to look that one up at sportsnet.ca. When we come back on Hockey Central at noon, we'll wrap the show, get you ready for the 1 o'clock hour, the Rocket Kelly Kerschett to join me from 1 to 2, and then the return for the final day, for now at least, Rob Kerr back for the 2 to 6 time slot. Peter Labardius joins the show at 4 o'clock once again. It's a busy day. Day 3 of Flames return to play camp. Lots to get into. We'll talk about it all next here on Hockey Central at Noon, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hockey Central at Noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Wrapping up another edition of Hockey Central at Noon. Day 3 of Flames return to play camp continuing today. It's Logan Gordon along with you. Riley Pollock, Mr. 306, running the board at Sportsnet World Control in our downtown studios. We'll join Kelly Kirsch in the next hour here from 1 to 2 before Rob Kerr joins the program for another special edition of Pinder and Steinberg at 2 o'clock. Busy day at Flames camp again today. The news of the day, Michael Backlund leaving practice early. He only got out for about 10 minutes of the session and then left and did not return. Derek Ryan, who's been dealing with some issues for the last few days here, did not practice once again. So two members down the middle for the Flames dealing with some early issues, of course, with everything going on with COVID and all the health stuff. We're not getting much information on these. We'll just kind of play it by ear early on in camp. No need to take any risks with any guys. So we'll just give you the information as it comes, and what the coaching staff give us, we'll pass along as the day goes on. Expecting to hear from the head coach, Jeff Ward, once the second session wraps up. We'll hear from him later on in the day. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, we'll hear from NHL Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly as he joined Hockey Central in Toronto a little bit earlier today. Lots to get to with the NHL Deputy Commissioner on all these negotiations, obviously. He played a big role in all of this. The NHL's return to play plan going pretty smoothly so far, a few weeks out from heading to the hub cities. He's also part of the NHL's draft lottery every year. What were his thoughts when it was a placeholder team that came out at first overall? We'll hear from the deputy commissioner in the 1 o'clock hour as well. And Riley Pollock will bring us a special Wednesday edition of Three Burning Questions at 2 o'clock. Shai Davidi, our Blue Jays insider from Sportsnet, going to join Rob Kerr. The Blue Jays, if you missed it last night, playing an inter-squad game at Rogers Center. Riley, did you catch any of the Jays inter-squad game yesterday?
I watched the first two innings or so before I was done work, so I got a little bit of it in, and I tried to watch the replay and then got another 2 minutes in and then went to bed last night. So I've seen the first two innings twice.
So you're very well versed on the first two innings.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. They've given Bo Bichette and Randall Grichuk the chance to draft some teams for these inter-squad games. And I thought they did a really good job. Dan Schulman broadcast the game from the Jays booth last night. They made it feel like as normal a game as it could be with no fans in the stands. They had walk-up music. They had the in-game announcer. They even played some crowd noise. The horn went off if guys hit home runs. It was a pretty entertaining thing and nice to see some actual live sporting events that we didn't know what was going to happen in. And so the Jays will continue that today. Another 4:30 start today, Riley. Is that correct?
Yep, 4:30 on Sportsnet West again today.
Perfect. If you're looking for some baseball, get your baseball fix in. I would highly recommend it. The Sportsnet TV production side doing a great job making it feel like a normal baseball game. We're just over a week and a few days out from the Jays heading to Boston for a couple of exhibition games against the Red Sox, and then they'll head to Tampa Bay on the 24th to start that regular season, the 60-game regular season against the Tampa Bay Rays. We'll have that game for you on July 24th against Tampa Bay. We also got some scheduling news for the Flames yesterday. They'll play an exhibition game against the Edmonton Oilers. Can't imagine that one won't have any juice to it. July 28th, that's a Tuesday, a couple days before they start their series against Winnipeg on Saturday. That's an 8:30 start. We'll have that one for you. We'll get a Flames pregame in and get you started for Flames Oilers and get back into the swing of things for doing Flames broadcasts here on Sportsnet. Looking forward to it. Flames and Jets on the Saturday, going to go at 8:30. They're the late game of five. We're going to bring in as much hockey and as much baseball as we possibly can once these get back underway. We're just a few minutes away from the 1 o'clock hour starting. We'll see if the Rocket is able to join us. We'll hear from Commissioner, NHL Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly in the 1-3 burning questions, and then Rob Kerr at 2 o'clock. That'll do it for this edition of Hockey Central at Noon here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.